terminate the executive admission of 12th-hour apostolic state of change congregation, not that the 12th-hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is, September the 15th, 2024, or it is the 13th day of Tishri, 2028. We'll continue on our study for the Second Rod, Volume 4 book, Vishihala. We're in number 5 now. We're on page 108, and the subject, our main title to our subject is Who is Israel by the Promise? Now this is important, because we've had Israel, ancient Israel, and we have modern day Israel. And so this question is, who are the ones that are by the promise? We're going to find out it has to be those in the last days. And so we'll continue on. It says the 430 years of the sojourning and affliction. Okay, we're on page 108, the Shepherd Rod Ryan Full Book. It says the 430-year period of the sojourn and affliction with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, which dates with Abraham going out of the Ur, coincides with our time from the Reformation by the Luther for the sealing of the Israel by the Thomas, 144,000. Quoting Patriarchs and Prophets, page 760, the actual time spent in Egypt could have been only about 215 years. But the Bible says that the sojourn of the children of Israel was 430 years. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the ancestors of the Israelites, were sojourners in Canaan. A period of 430 years dates from the promise given unto Abraham when he was commanded to leave Ur of the Chaldees. 400 years of Genesis 15:13 dates from a later period. Notice that the period of 400 years is not only a time of the sojourning, but of the affliction. This, according unto the scripture, must be reckoned from 30 years later, about the time when Ishmael, he that was born after the flesh, persecuted him, Isaac, that was born after the spirit, Galatians 4:29. Paul, in the Galatians 3:15-17, said that from the making of the covenant with Abraham until the giving of the law of Sinai was 430 years. And of these scriptures, then, we are not to understand that the Israelites were in Egypt 400 years. See Exodus 12:40. According unto this, the 430 years began with Abraham going out of Ur and ended with the Mount Sinai. Constantly we have to take the entire period into the consideration, beginning with Abraham, which has a definite time of a certain existing condition. At the beginning of the 430 years, idolatry prevailed everywhere. Abraham alone was called out. Such is the spiritual condition that marked the beginning of the prophetic period in its type. That word type, again, we always underscore that word. Just so, the beginning of the time of the duplicate or antithought must be marked with the time of the low spiritual condition. In the time of Martin Luther, we have the exact reproduction of Abraham's experience, for in Luther's time, spiritual darkness and idolatry prevailed everywhere. Abraham is a figure of Luther. Abraham was called of Yahweh by the spoken word, Luther by the written. Abraham is the father of the faith. So is Luther, father of the faith. Romans, I believe, 1:17 says, I have to have faith in the covenant of that share, the blood of the covenant. The doctrine taught by Luther was the just shall live by faith. Yeah, that's the right. Romans 1:17. If this is true, then the point 30 years of that time began with Luther about 1500 AD. Luther discovered in the library of the University of Erfurt a Latin Bible and found, to his no small delight, that it contained more than the excerpts in common use. Thus Yahweh, by his words, called Luther out of the papal Rome. We have first a period of 400 years, and then it was extended to 430 years. We therefore have a 30-year period to deal with first. It has been stated that the 30 years ended about the time Ishmael persecuted Isaac. According to this, about the year of 1530 AD, something must have been brought forth. What took place in 1530? The Augsburg Confession, a document compiled by the Luther, which was presented by the Protestants at the Diet of Augsburg and to the Emperor Charles V and the Diet, and then signed by the Protestant states, was adopted as a creed, and who protested against the Pope. This coincides with Sarah protesting against Agar and Ishmael when they departed from the house of Abraham, and the assurance of the covenant of the promise that was made to the Isaac. As the Sarah protested against Agar and Ishmael, so Protestants protested against the papal rule. This is just exactly what should have taken place in 1530 AD, the 50th occurrence of the prophecy, at the time Isaac was persecuted by Ishmael. He, Isaac, was 5 years old, and at the time Jacob was born, Isaac was 60. Therefore, we had 55 years to 1530, which brings us to 1585. And it says, brings us to 1585 AD. Explanation of this period will be given later. From the birth of Jacob until the time Israel went into Egypt was 130 years. Adding this number to 1585 gives us 1715 AD. The explanation of this period also will be given later. From the time Israel went into Egypt until the birth of Moses was 135 years. Adding this 1715 brings the total to 1850 A.D. This period is marked by the birth of Moses, which was a hope, a deliverer for Israel. What took place in 1850? The first testimony was written to the church and addressed to those who are receiving the seal of the living Yahweh, signed E.G. White. Thus the birth of the Moses, the hope of Israel after the flood, coincides with the birth of the first testimony for the church. For the hope of Israel, by the promise, 144,000. Thus we see a perfect harmony in the type with the antitype. Origin and progress of the Seventh-day Adventist, page 749. Moses, at the age of 40 years, attempted to deliver Israel and failed. Adding 40 years to 1850, we have 1890 A.D. What happened at this time? The following statement was made by the Sister Fire in 1892. If the people of Yahweh had gone to work as they should have gone to work, right after the Minneapolis meeting in 1888, the world would have been won in 2 years, and that sure would have come. General Conference Bulletin, 1892. This reference was given as by a Seventh-day Adventist minister of Los Angeles, California, about the same time, 1890. National Religious Liberty was organized by the denomination. Thus, the attempt and failure of Moses experienced to set freedom to Israel from the Egyptian bondage coincides with organizing religious liberty, and now these people fail to do their duty. National Religious Liberty Association organized July 21st, 1889. Origin and Progress of the SDA, page 752. 40 years later, Moses was called and sent back to Egypt and did set Israel free from the Egyptian bondage. And in 40 years, 1890, brings the total to 1930. This period should be marked by a reformation and purification of the church, fulfilling Malachi 3 and Ezekiel 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time, to recover the remnant of his people, who shall be left, Isaiah 11:11. The two periods, 1585 and 1715, will now be explained. 1585 corresponds with the birth of Jacob, and 1715 corresponds with the Israel going down into Egypt. The entering into Egypt with the 70 souls typified the birth of the Seventh-day Adventist at its time, on pages 73 and 4. But the Seventh-day Adventism was not born until 1845. To get the truth of these two periods, we must count back to the birth of Jacob, for it is a birth that we are dealing with. We have 130 years from the entrance into Egypt and to the birth of Jacob, and 85 years from the birth of Jacob to Abraham's departure out of Ur. Therefore, we must go backwards and subtract the first 85 years period from the going out of earth to the birth of Jacob of 1930, and we have 1845. Thus, we get the year of the birth of the Seventh-day Adventist. Miss Ellen Harmon then had her first vision, and it was about the 144,000 Israel by the promise, and the first paper published then on the Sabbath truth was called the Hope of Israel. See the origin and progress of the Seventh-day Adventist, page 749. Now, subtract the 130-year period from the birth of Jacob until the entering into Egypt from 1845, and we have 1715 AD. The year which was marked by Israel going into Egypt. Thus, 1715 becomes the dividing line between Canaan and Egypt. Just as our seal became the dividing line between B.C. and A.D. Note how it coincides on the chart. If these coincidences were divinely designed, then the beginning and ending of the prophecy as on the following chart would be correct. Okay, it shows these charts now, type and annotate. This is the King James chronology. Okay. So it goes in the terms of these days, saying the calling of Abraham, beginning of the 430-year period, and find the patriarch the prophet, page 760, number 6. Would be 2126 B.C. From the departure out of Ur to the persecution of Isaac was 30 years. And Sir protested against him that was born after the departure of Agar and Ishmael in 2096 B.C. When the persecution of Isaac to the birth of Jacob was 55 years, birth of Jacob in 2041 B.C. Birth of Jacob to the entrance into Egypt was 130 years. Jacob entered Egypt in 1911 B.C. From the entrance into Egypt to the birth of Moses, hope of Israel was 135 years. Date of Moses' birth, hope of Israel was 1776 B.C. The calling of Luther, beginning of the 430-year period, is 1500 A.D. From 1500, call of Luther was 30 years. Adoption of the Protestant creed and protesting to the papal church in 1530. From adoption to the Protestant creed in 1585, we have 55 years. 1585 coincides with 1845, as explained below, by subtracting the number of years from the departure from Ur to the birth of Jacob, becoming the birth of the STA, see page 211, A.G. White. Page 1585. Add to 1585 the typical, and we have 130 years dividing line between Canaan and Egypt. See our last panel, also page 111. Note there are six lines of numbers on either side of 1750 AD. From 1715 AD to the birth of the first testament, we have 135 years. The birth of the first testimony to the church addressed to those who are receiving the seal of the living Yahweh, assigned E.G. White, 1850 AD. Alright, it says, from Moses' birth to the time he attempted to liberate Israel was 40 years. And Moses fell and fled away in 1736 B.C. Moses spent in the wilderness 40 years. Deliverance of Israel by the Moses in 1696, and the call of Abraham to the birth of Jacob, 85, from the birth of Jacob to the entering into Egypt, 130 years, from the birth of the first testimony to the time national religious liberty was organized, is 40 years. Yahweh's people failed to do their duty. Volume 5, page 80, C 110 and 1890. From the time national religious liberty was organized to 1930 is 40 years. Time due for a reformation. Is that reformation? Well, we still haven't had a reformation. We are in 2024. A call to depart from the wilderness purification of the church. Malachi 3, volume 2. Okay. So it says, Isaiah 11:11, 1930. A.D. From 1930, we subtract the typical 85 years. Birth of yesterday, Ellen Harmon. That was her first vision. The first paper published on the Sabbath truth, titled The Hope of Israel, 1845. From 1845, we subtract the typical 130, and we have the dividing line of something like the cross BC and AD between Canaan and Egypt, 1715 BC. This is the reason why we have 1500 AD as the starting point of this prophecy, and it's of this 430 year prophecy. And if these coincidences were designed or designed, then the beginning and ending of the prophecy as on this chart would be correct. See chart on Ezekiel's prophecy on page 132. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according unto the number of the days. We're in part 5 of the Shepherd Rod, section 5. The prophecy of Ezekiel 4. Okay, what transpires within the 390 days? For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according unto the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel, and when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed each day for a year. Ezekiel 4, 5, and 6. For the prophecy of the fourth chapter of Ezekiel finds its fulfillment in our day. This prophecy could not possibly refer to Israel after the flesh, though it deals with the period of the 430 years in about the same manner as the prophecy made to Abraham. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, Genesis 15:13. The Exodus 12:40 says, now the sojourn of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. So the prophecy to Abraham was made in two sections, first being 400 years and then to 430 years. Ezekiel's prophecy is made exactly the same way, in two sections, but not the same number of years in each section. Instead of 400 years, we have 390 years, and instead of 30 years, we have 40, making the same total as 430 in each case. If this prophecy had a reference to the prophecy made to Abraham, there should have been the same number of years in each section. But since it is not the same, it must be another period of time. Again, the prophecy of Israel after the flesh is that they should sojourn and be afflicted for 30 years. But this prophecy of Ezekiel says in verse 13, and Yahshua said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat the defiled bread among the Gentiles, whether I will drive them. Therefore it is evident that this prophecy refers to another period of time and experience than that of the experience of Israel and Egypt. The prophecy made to Abraham of 430 years ended at the time that the children of Israel went out of Egypt, which is according unto the Bible chronology, the King James Version, 1491 B.C., according to the same chronology, the 430-year period of the children of Israel had ended 896 years before Ezekiel was even given the vision of this prophecy. And he put the prophecy in the future, for he uses the future tense, even thus shall the children of the Israel eat the defiled bread. So it is altogether impossible for one to form a conclusion that these two prophecies deal with the same period and experience of the Israel down in Egypt. For this period, they, by Ezekiel, had no reference to Israel after the flesh in Ezekiel's time. For Yahshua said, Ezekiel 4:5, for I have laid upon thee the years of the iniquity according unto the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. In this verse, Yahshua said, the 390 days or years are for the iniquity of the house of Israel, but in the next verse, the 430-year period has reference unto the Judah. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. Therefore, Israel and Judah are referred to for the kingdom of the 12 tribes of Israel was divided into two divisions in their early years, namely Israel and Judah, that at the time Ezekiel had this vision, there was only one division, for the 10 tribes had been conquered and carried away in 721 B.C., 126 years before this prophecy was made. According to the same chronology, being in the future, the prophecy then should have no reference to Israel after the flood. At this point, 30-year period has never yet been applied to any time or people in the past, and therefore has never been explained, just the same as many other prophecies that were never understood until they met the fulfillment. If the time of the fulfillment has come, then only shall we understand this prediction. We begin with the fourth verse onward. We shall later take the first three and the last two verses. Israel after the first was a type of Israel by the promise. There we go. And Israel by the promise is 144,000. We shall later, okay, was a type, okay, Israel by the promise, 144,000, as explained on pages 64-113. The experiences of the children of Israel in Egypt was a photograph of our denomination. That's their experience is being reproduced in every particular with this people. And if there are 430 years connected with Israel after the flesh, then the same period of time must be connected with the truth. For the 430-year period by Abraham did not have to deal only with ancient Israel, but with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as well. For the prophecy to Abraham of the 430 years began with the call to come out of the earth and ended at Mount Sinai. But this 430 years, which ended at Mount Sinai, was a type, as explained on pages 108 and 109. For the typical 430 years prophesied to Abraham began in the true, our time, with the Martin Luther as explained on pages 108 and 111. Therefore, both prophecies, the one to Abraham and the one to Ezekiel, refer to the same period in our time. For the one to Abraham stands as a type, but the other is a direct prophecy, and both run parallel in our time. We may suppose the 390-year period began in about 1500 A.D. when Luther found the Bible, and ended in 1890 A.D. where the 40-year period began, which would end in 1930. However, we cannot point out the exact day or month or even the year because, number one, we do not know the exact day of the call of Luther. Number two, prophecy deals with the Jewish or perhaps the Hebrews year. Therefore, it is a matter of the months that we cannot determine. It may run until 1931 or even after. If the coincidence as explained on chart pages 112 and 13 were not divinely designed to point out this fact, the question may be asked, why would Yahweh make a double prophecy for the same thing? Because the old prophecy, the tithe, only gives the details from the beginning of the third angel's message to the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9. The prophecy by Ezekiel gives the full information in detail from the beginning of the Lucid Revelation to Ezekiel 9, marking of the 144,000, and unrolling of the show. Not all in regard to this matter is yet understood, nor will it be understood until the unrolling of the scroll, volume 6, page 17. But we've had an unrolling of the scroll on this, and this Ezekiel 9 made its fulfillment in 2002 with Colonel Texas, certainly the ancient man for the house, brother to the Johnson. Ezekiel 9, 6 says, Peter, 1 Peter 4, 17 says, judgment was struck against the house of Yahweh. Well, the house of Yahweh was dead as sinner at that time that Ezekiel 9 was fulfilled. It makes it clear that there is a 430-year period from the Reformation by Luther to the purification of the church. As we shall endeavor to prove by the Ezekiel prophecy, which we quote here, lie there also upon our left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according unto the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according unto the number of the days, 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley, and beans, and lentils, and millet, and fishes, and the margins of spelt, which is a part of the wheat family, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof, according unto the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. 390 days shalt thou eat thereof, and thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by the weight, 20 shekels a day. From time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, the sixth part of an hin, which I am. From time to time shall thou drink, Ezekiel 4, the 6 and 9 to 11. Ezekiel was commanded to lie on his left side for 390 days, during which time he was to eat and drink. After the 390 days were ended, he must turn to his right side and lie for 40 days. That during this time he must not eat. The 390 days are 390 literal years, according unto the last part of Ezekiel 4:6, as we have made the application. The 390 years began with Luther and ended in 1890. During this period of the time, Ezekiel was told to eat and drink while he lay on his left side. What is he told to eat? Six varieties of food, namely wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. We are not to understand these six provided today material food to sustain physical life, but as symbols of the spiritual foods, doctrines of the sixth variety to sustain spiritual life. Had these not been symbols of the truth, Yahshua would not have asked Ezekiel to get a specified number of cereal, and that he should put them in one vessel and bake them into a certain cake and eat them at a specified time in a particular way with a fixed measure of water. These six doctrines may be represented by the steps upward, reformation, and effort to bring the church, spiritual Israel of the day, to her state of purity. And so L.G. Price told us, Seventh Day Adventist, said that they're the spiritual Israel of today. All right. Our next subtitle is Wheat is a Symbol of Faith. For the first portion of the spiritual food or truth, which we were to receive represented by the wheat, was faith. And we know that faith in connection with the covenant of the New Testament is the faith in the blood of the Yahshua for salvation, pointed out there in Hebrews 10. The wheat, which symbolized the doctrine Luther gave us, must be perfect in itself to make a perfect symbol of that doctrine. Note the truth of the wheat. It has always been used by all generations, and everybody uses it, and it is hard to get along without. Just so all must have the doctrine of the faith. And so the faith in what? Faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, so the Bible says. Not only Christians, but other religions must have faith as well as they must have wheat. Even the infidel and the atheist must exercise faith in whatever he may believe. We can see that inspiration used the right kind of symbol to represent the doctrine of the faith. Barley, number two, grain, symbol of the spirit, is our next subtitle. The second portion of the food or truth, which we were to get, was represented by the barley. John Knox was the next man who made this second step by teaching the doctrine represented by the barley, which was the truth of the Holy Spirit. Barley is not so commonly or widely used as the wheat. In fact, few people would use it. And as that very seldom, many people do not know what barley is. So with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, while the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is believed by some Christians, it is not believed by others. Some do not understand what the truth of the Spirit is, even as some do not know what the barley is. So the symbol representing the second doctrine is perfect even as the first. Gideon's experience with the Midianites dream of the barley at Cage overturning the 10th period, the same three judges, 7, 13, and 14. Beans, symbol of grace, this is our third grain of doctrine. Beans are just as widely and commonly used by all the people in all generations, the same as wheat. John Wesley is the third man, the Englishman from England, on the stage of the action as a great reformer, made the third step upward by teaching the doctrine of grace, which was represented by the beans. All believe in grace, so much so that men no longer fear Yahweh and have declared His law of voice. He is too gracious and too merciful, they say, and as we are under grace, or with grace doctrine, and Yahweh will do neither good nor evil. Thus, Christians these days have perverted its true meaning, even as they all love being, and have perverted the proper name by calling them pork and beans. What more fitting symbol could have been chosen to represent the doctrine of grace than the one Yahweh has selected? Lentils, type of the doctrine of baptism by the immersion. Okay. Lentils are used to represent the fourth portion of the truth. Alexander Campbell is credited with making the fourth step upward by teaching the doctrine of the baptism by the immersion, symbolized by the lentils, the variety of lentils representing the fourth doctrine, baptism, by the immersion, is not known or used even as much as barley. So, with the truth of the immersion, baptism by the immersion in the old fashioned way is not generally practiced, even as lentils, or generally used. Again, Yahweh has used the right kind of symbol to represent this portion of the truth. Millet, symbol of the 2300 days. For the fifth portion of the truth is represented by the millet. And the fifth reformer was William Miller. He taught the prophecy of the Daniel 8:14, which was the doctrine of the 2300 days. Millet is scarcely known, and those who do know what it is say it is of little worth. Merely a wild grass with scarcely any farming value and not desired by anybody. Nevertheless, it is a good cereal. Just so with the doctrine taught by Miller, no one has any use for it, and Seventh-day Adventists are particularly the only people who teach it. Those who do not accept this doctrine say it is good for nothing, and charge Miller as being a false prophet. Though it is a wonderful prophecy and reveals a great truth, yet people will not accept it. It is good for nothing, with no spiritual value, and we have no need of it, is the cry. Again, the question is that, could a better symbol than millet be found to represent the doctrine of the 2300 days by the miller? Spelt, symbol of the Sabbath in the connection with the sanctuary. This would be our sixth doctrine. The last trail mentioned in Ezekiel prophecy is Stealth, which represents the sixth truth of the doctrine, which is the Sabbath truth, and the light is given by the sister E.G. White in the connection with the heavenly sanctuary. For the definition of the spell, as in the margin according unto the standard dictionary, is as follows: a cereal intermediate between wheat and barley. It was the chief cereal of the ancient Egypt, being probably the type of the time of the Moses, but cultivated now mainly in the Switzerland, southern Germany, and northern Spain. Spelt is an ancient cereal used in the ancient Egypt in the days of Moses, and it was the rye in the days of Joseph. So is the Sabbath an ancient truth which originated in the Garden of the Eden and was the last recorded act of the creation. It was a truth in the days of Moses, the first man in the Bible who instituted the Sabbath keeping. Spelt is a little better known than a millet and has some farming value, but only in certain portions of the globe, even as the Sabbath is better known than the 2300 days. Would any dare say these are not all perfect symbols, or that it is only a certain man's interpretation and only an accident, or just happened, and yet fit so perfectly? But thus far, only one page has been explained. All in one vessel is our next chapter. For Yahweh said unto the prophet Ezekiel, to put them in one vessel, Ezekiel 4:9. It will now be considered as to whether he really did put all these doctrines in one vessel. Luther believed in the doctrine he taught, but the great enemy flooded the church with deception, not with arguing the truth, no, but suggesting unto the people that they now have all the truth and they surely were right. That's the same thing with the Seventh-day Adventists today. They say they have all the truth, they don't need no more. That's what Brother Johnson said, the angel of the seventh candlestick in Kermit, Texas. He said, we got all the truth. We don't. We can carry us the share of the 144,000. Okay. Thus hardening their hearts against the pure light. Soon additional truth came. But Satan had already flooded the church with his agents, and prejudice was aroused against the new light. The result was that the majority turned down the truth. The few saw the light, and as the case generally is, they were voted out by the church. Necessity gave birth to a new movement, or denomination. Such has been the experience with the church and each advancing truth up until the time and to our own time. In like manner, the truth represented by the body spirit was turned down by those who had accepted the doctrine symbolized by the wheat, which represents the faith. Knox believed in all the truth he had, and also all the truth Luther taught. Thus the wheat and the body were in one vessel and carried to the second step. We next have the truth symbolized by the beings representing grace, the doctrine of grace, and presented by the Rashi, who believed also in the truth previously taught by the Luther and Knox, which were represented by the wheat and barley. The third step was made, and the wheat, barley, and beans were in one vessel. The fourth truth was represented by the lentils, baptism, by the immersion, and taught by the Campbell, who believed in the doctrines of Luther, Knox, and Wesley. Thus, the wheat, barley, beans, and lentils were carried to the fourth step and then one vessel. The fifth truth, 2300 days, is represented by the millet, and this step upward was made by the William Miller, who believed in all the truths symbolized by the wheat, barley, beans, and lentils. The fifth step was made, and the five varieties of the fruit of truth were carried to in one vessel. We now come to the last variety of the cereal, spelt, representing the Sabbath, in connection with the judgment. Is it not a fact that the Seventh-day Adventist denomination believes in all these truths, the wheat, faith, barley, the Holy Spirit, beans, grace, lentils, immersion, millet, the 2300 days, spelt, the Sabbath, with the sanctuary truth? It will be noticed that Yeshua said, put them into the one vessel. He did not say in two or more, but in one. There are no other people besides the Seventh-day Adventists who believe in the 2300 days of the cleansing of the sanctuary, and it is this denomination and the denomination special, which teaches all the six doctrines as represented by the six varieties of the food. Thus, the prophecy makes its fulfillment in our day, and we are amazed at the difficulty to comprehend the great wisdom of the Yeshua, our Savior and Redeemer. Okay. Well, this brings the end of our study for today. I believe this is number 5. 4 or 5. Anyway, we're going to close now with a song. Yeah, we'll continue on this series, Who is Israel by the Promise. We're in the part now of the fourth chapter of Ezekiel. We find it. So we're going to take that up in our next study.